I'd like you all to practice a breath prayer with me. And so we'll breathe in, and then we'll breathe out. So inhale the presence of God. Exhale the chaos within. Inhale the presence of God. And exhale God's peace. So there was this man. He was out at sea and his boat crashed and he stranded in the water. And so he kept praying to God, "Lord, save me." And after a little while, a boat comes by and they're like, "We can help you." And the guy says, "No thanks, God will save me." And so he keeps on praying and another boat appears and he says the same thing, "No thanks, God will save me." He prays some more earnestly and a helicopter shows up. And he says, "Don't worry, God will save me." Well, the man drowns. And when he gets to heaven, he asks God, he's like, "God, why didn't you save me?" And God says, "Well, I sent you two boats and a helicopter." Sometimes God works in ways we don't expect. It certainly was true for Jonah. This is the end of the chapter. It's not often read when you're told the story of Jonah. If you remember the early story, God comes to Jonah in Joppa, and God says, "Jonah, go to Nineveh and preach." Not just a little geography lesson. Nineveh is the capital of Assyria, and Assyria was the big bully of the ancient world. They were enemies of Judah and Israel. They're responsible for the destruction of the northern kingdom of Israel. They enslave people. They do bad things. They were not deemed worthy of saving. So when Jonah goes to hear God's call to go to Nineveh, he says, "Okay," and he goes to Tarshish. Let's look at the map for a minute. Yeah, Tarshish, that's Spain, if you didn't know, for geography. So he was going in the literal opposite direction of what God called him to. 3,000 miles in the opposite direction. So he's going on the ship. He books a ship in Joppa. If you're familiar with VeggieTales, they're pirates in the VeggieTales making of Jonah. And after a while, God sends a storm, or we're told, a strong wind. And instead of helping and doing what he's supposed to, Jonah is asleep below deck. And it really upsets the sailor so much that the captain goes down and says, "Hey, get up and come pray to your God." Well, one thing leads to another, and Jonah finally confesses. He's like, "The storm is because of me. It's because I'm running from God." And one thing leads to another, and the crew throws him overboard. Solve their problem. And so after that, we're told the Lord sends a big fish and takes Jonah up. Yes, I'm sorry, it's not a whale in the text. If you want to think it's a whale, that's fine. So this big fish swallows up Jonah, and he's in the belly of the fish, we're told, for 3 days and three nights. And ironically, in this thing, Jonah prays what's called a prayer of thanksgiving from the belly of a fish. And then after the 3 days and three nights, Jonah spit out onto land, and he finds himself in, you guessed it, Nineveh. Y'all, this story is funny. The best-selling comedy of the ancient world. If you really think about it, it reads like a comedy. God calls Jonah. Jonah says, "All right, bye, other direction." He goes on a ship, and instead of helping, he's sleeping. And then they throw him overboard. And then he prays a prayer of thanksgiving from the belly of a fish. It's very humoral. Rewind. It's very funny. Some scholars believe that this story was meant to be funny. It was meant to be satirical. It was meant to be a commentary on human nature. But just because it's funny doesn't mean it's not true. Or there's not deep truth in the story of Jonah. See, Jonah didn't want to go to Nineveh, and sometimes it's portrayed that he was afraid of Nineveh, that he didn't want to go there because he was afraid for his life. And while that might be true, it's not the reason we're told in the passage. Assyria was the enemy of Israel. The people of Assyria were deemed incompatible with the teaching of God. They didn't obey God's commandments. They did really bad things. I'm going to be honest with you. They were not good people. They did bad things. They enslaved people. They conquered the world. They were not. And Jonah didn't think they were worthy of his time. And he didn't want them to be saved. In fact, and he knew that if he went, God would save them. In the first verse, he says, "Is not this what I said while I was still in my own country? That is why I fled from you." And he says this, "Because I knew that you are a gracious God, merciful, slow to anger, abounding in steadfast love, and ready to relent from punishing." Basically, Jonah said, "I didn't want to go to Nineveh because I knew you were a good God and you were going to forgive them, and I didn't want them to be forgiven." So all that happens, and Jonah goes to Nineveh, and he preaches, and Nineveh repents, and they're saved. And all of this good thing happens in the city. It's actually interesting because Jonah is the only prophet we're told succeeds. All the other prophets were either not told if they succeed or were told, "Hey, you were run out of town and the people hated you." But Jonah, he does it. He does his job. He succeeds. And then at the end of chapter 3, it tells us, and Jonah was unhappy. And then the start of 4 is, we find Jonah in this distressful place. He is upset because Nineveh was saved and repented of their ways. They didn't behave how he expected them to. And he wanted God to destroy them. They were his enemy. So he basically goes like a child and pouts on the hillside. And God raises up a shrub, tree, or bush, we're told, to give him shade. And it says, and Jonah was happy for the bush. And then God appoints a worm or sends a worm to eat the tree, and it dies. And Jonah's upset and angry, and God asks him a very interesting question. Is it right for you to be angry? And in his very dramatic way, he says, "Yes, and I'm gonna die." Like, really? You're gonna die? Let's get the reality check here, Jonah. Jonah holds a special place in the Jewish culture. It's this short little book. It's 4 chapters. I mean, when you talk about prophets, it's pretty short in there. I mean, you have Isaiah that's like 60-something chapters, and it's really a debate on if Isaiah or Jeremiah is the longest, because Isaiah has more chapters, but Jeremiah has more verses. So, but Jonah, this short little book, this little scroll, it's called a scroll in the Hebrew tradition, is read on Yom Kippur. Which, for those of you who don't know, Yom Kippur is the Day of Atonement. It's the day in which the Jewish high priest goes into the Holy of Holies in the temple and asks God to forgive the sins of the world. Not just his sins, not just the sins of the Jewish people, but the sins of the world, the sin of all creation. And in Jonah, the theme of repentance and redemption is all over the book. Jonah starts and he goes and he runs from God, but in the belly of the fish, he prays this prayer of thanksgiving and basically says, yes, I'll go to Nineveh if you want. And Nineveh, it was a they were doing terrible things, but they repent and they are redeemed. And that would be fine to say that's the theme of the book if the story ended in chapter 3. And it ended with Nineveh being saved, and that was the end of the story. But it doesn't end there. We have chapter 4. The story of Jonah and his displeasure with the mercy of God. And really, the story, it ends kind of, the last verse is just kind of, and there were tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of people and many animals. The end. But really, the story of Jonah is about that God's love and mercy extends to all people. Even those people who we don't want it to extend to. Jonah didn't want to save Nineveh. They were his enemy. They worked against him. They were responsible for the destruction of his kinsmen, kinspeople. Yet God called him to preach there. Called him to save them. Jonah is a story of God working in ways we do not expect. Jonah expected the Assyrians and Nineveh to not repent and for them to be destroyed. And he wanted, even if they did repent, he wanted them to be destroyed anyway. But God had something else in mind. In the final chapter of Jonah, God says in verse 10, "You are concerned for the bush for which you did not labor and which you did not grow." This metaphor that I think reminds us that we are not the creators of the world. We did not knit each other in our mother's womb. We did not breathe into the breath of life. We did not labor to create the world. But God did. And therefore, in this metaphor, God is reminding Jonah that the power to save, the power to forgive, the power to decide who is worthy of redemption is for God alone. And God, in this story, reminds us that God seeks the redemption of all people, of all creation, even Nineveh, even Assyria, this terrible, terrible place. The central theme of Jonah is echoed later in the New Testament, especially when Paul writes, there is nothing, nothing that can separate us from the love of God. And often, because nothing can separate us, God works in ways that we do not expect. And often God works through people we do not expect. And to be honest with you, that's scary. It's scary to think about a God we can't control. It's scary to think about redemption and forgiveness that we can't put limits on. Because if we can't control it, how do we know we have it? But God is greater than that. God is greater than our expectations. My friends in seminary, I love them to death. But sometimes they say this thing about just waiting for the older generation to die, and then we can create the church we want. Which from like, yes, that makes sense, but the idea is wrong to me. They say that they just fall into that trap that people are just stuck in their ways and there's nothing we can do about it. Well, if I believed that, I don't believe in the God that became incarnated in Jesus Christ. When I read the story of Jonah, I hear something different. Not that there are people who are beyond saving, but that God wants to save everyone. There are people who are beyond redemption, but God says, no, there are not. I hear God telling Jonah, you don't get to decide who I will work through, who I will save, who I will use. I hear Jonah and I hear a story of God working in miraculous ways through a people who the world had given up any hope of redemption. Jonah tells us that it's never too late for God to transform your life. And this is the good news. The good news is that it is never too late to answer God's call, to answer God's call to be in relationship with God. It doesn't matter if you're 5 years old, 5 days old, 95 years old. It doesn't matter if you were raised in the church and you can list every Bible, book of the Bible in its order, which I am a seminary student and can't do that. Or you're just starting out on your Christian fit journey. It doesn't matter if you've left the church and come back, or you've left and you've never come back, or you've stayed through the church your entire life. It doesn't matter because it's never too late for God to use you. It's never too late for God to call you. It is never too late for you to be redeemed. It is never too late to let God work in you in unexpected ways. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen.